Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Happy Hour. I'm so freaking excited to be recording this episode. I don't think you even know this, Dom, but in my last like two or three episodes, I'm like, I have a really exciting guest coming soon. I've been like telling them that you're coming. So today we are joined by my friend Dom, who is just like such a cool individual and is involved in so many things. So I've been needing to get her on here. So take it away.
Hi guys. I'm so hyped to be here. You guys don't even know. As soon as Gretchen messaged me, I like told my mom, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get to talk to Gretchen on the podcast. I was like so excited. But hi guys, my name is Dominique Cynthia. I go to UPenn. I'm a junior. I actually have 2 weeks left. Finals are about to kick my butt, but I'm hoping to start to study soon to make it a little bit easier. So I live in Philadelphia, but I spend most of my time on YouTube making just college experience type videos and trying to film a ton of different people. I get to meet wonderful people like Gretchen through a 70 question series and just spend all my time creating content. So I'm so excited to talk today and learn more about Gretchen and tell you guys a little bit more about myself.
And your YouTube channel and your Instagram, just your name, Dominique Cynthia, if they want to find you, right?
Yep. So my YouTube is Dominique Cynthia, and then my Instagram is Dominique_Cynthia.
So I thought we could tell them a little bit how we met. It was so, I feel like it was thrown together so last minute, and I'm so happy that I met you, of course, and that we made that connection. And I don't think you even know how I found you. Like, I don't think I ever even told you. So I'm sure Dom will tell you guys all about her 73 question series. And that's definitely like how I first found your channel. Like so many of them were like popping off, going viral. So I saw that. And then when you were in Boston, like recording for your Boston colleges, I think it was my little in my sorority was like, oh my gosh, I got this DM, like this girl wants me to be in her 73 questions video, but I'm not going to be here, whatever. And I was like, I know who you're talking about. I watch all those videos. Like I love them. So I went to go DM you to be like, I'll do it. But then you had already DM'd me like asking me. So I was like, freak yeah.
I had no clue that you, that's so crazy because yeah, I did the 73s and I actually, before your school, which I think I did mention to you, I went to Rhode Island, and then I went to New Hampshire and Boston in 3 days. It was insane. We did, me, my mom and dad were like, okay, we're going to hit about 12 schools in 3 days. So it was insanely hectic to try to find people. And most of the schools don't have like a specific figure that kind of stands out from the rest of the student body of who I'd want to film. So a lot of them, I just DM'd just a ton of students and asked them if they'd be interested. But I knew for you, for Boston University, I was like, I want to do Gretchen. So it's so crazy that you were vice versa, like wanting to be a part. I was like, hey, would you want to do this? And I was like, you know, she has some followers. She might not even see the message. Like, I hope she even like reacts. If even she says no, I'd be happy to even be able to have got to reach her. And so when you said yes, I was like, yes, like we're in it. It was so funny. Like now telling you the background, like my brother helped. I don't know if you remember. My brother, kind of for the viewers, is he holds my shirt and he helps guide me so I don't like hit trees and like fall off of curves and stuff. So I told him, I was like, we can't mess this one up. This one's really important. We have to take this one really seriously. So he was like getting hyped up in the car, like, I got it, Dom. When we actually met you, you were just wonderful and just the sweetest person. I talked about you for like an hour after we left.
Okay, same.
amazing. It was the best experience of meeting a fellow content creator, but a level that I would like to pursue to achieve. So it was just, yeah, it was amazing. And you killed it. It was so good. One of my favorite videos before.
I know. It's funny hearing like behind the scenes too, and obviously like experiencing it in person, because when you watch the video, it's just like so seamless and like so good, and you don't realize like, okay, you need the person like telling you like you're gonna run into a tree stop. Like I never would have known that.
Yes, and during your video, that was one of the biggest almost incidents of me hitting a pole. I don't know if you remember, but my brother like yanked my shirt and like he almost fell in order to like make me not fall, and I completely forget that there could be objects behind me. So yeah, there's a lot more to process than I think most people think. And a lot of people have even told me, like, you're the one that goes to all these schools. Like, I thought you like sent out a crew or like ask the students to film and you just voice over. And I'm like, no, I actually leave every weekend to go film. I love it. It's the thing for me. I've met so many cool people and seen so many campuses that I would not change it for the world.
Okay, that's so crazy, because I never even realized like some people could think that in those videos it's not even you filming or like asking the questions, because you don't see you just like hear your voice.
Exactly. And it's been such an interesting concept, because my name's on it, right? So Dominique Cynthia, people recognize the name, but a lot of people don't even know what I look like because I'm not in most of the videos. So I remember I was in Miami, you know, I was turning up, I was having fun. I was at the club and I met this guy and I was talking to him and he was so cute. And I was like, hey. And he was like, we were talking about school, and I asked him where he went to school, and he went to Morehouse. And then he's telling me, I really want to go to Columbia for my master's. And I was like, oh, like I make YouTube videos, like I filmed Columbia once. And he was like, wait, like, what's your name? I was like, oh, I'm Dominique Cynthia. He was like, you're Dominique Cynthia? Oh my God, I've seen him. Like, and I was like, whoa. And that was the first thing, like, most people have no clue who I am, but they've seen me. It's an interesting circumstance, because people don't recognize me, they kind of stay hidden, but people know my name, so it's kind of cool. I don't know,
that's so interesting, because I feel like when I watch all those videos, of course the first thing I do is like go to Instagram and stalk you and whatever, so I knew who you were immediately. But I could see how if I like only watched your YouTube videos, yeah, I wouldn't even know like what you look like. You're like undercover.
Exactly. It's like an undercover, like low cop. I don't know. I just think it's sometimes I'm like, man, maybe I should put myself on camera more. But I really like being behind the scenes at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it's the best of both worlds, because I know if I want to, like, it's my channel. I'm not working for like a network or anything. So if I want to throw myself up, I can. But I actually find what you do, like vlogs, very difficult. Like I'd much rather film other people. Like vlogs, people don't understand how much work it is. You go about your vlogs, do you find it like difficult? Do you have to write scripts, or do you kind of just go into it?
Yeah, I just try to keep it like so natural. It's a lot less obviously planned than like the 73 questions, like those type of really like entertaining videos, and mine are really casual. Like how we're chatting now, like I just go throughout my day, like I'll show like conversations with my boyfriend, like petting my dog, you know? So it's very casual, but there are like, I feel like obstacles to that too, because then it's like such a close look at my personal life. So then you like open yourself to judgment from people on like really personal things to you. So then like being behind the scenes and having more like structured videos seems like easier in that kind of way.
Exactly. And I think that's what I've been realizing of, if I show myself, like people will know. I remember this probably happens to you all the time, but I met somebody one time and they were like, it was actually during my 73 questions tour. I was at UNC and one of my interviewees had a friend that wanted to meet me. He was like, hey, like my roommate wants to come say hi. And I was like, of course. And so he came up, and that was probably the first type fan situation I've ever experienced. And he was like, oh my gosh, like I saw you were in like Florida before this, and I know like you're Canadian, and I know, just listing all this stuff about myself. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, you know my stuff. So I can't imagine for you that everybody has a deep dive into your life.
Yeah, I know. It's a crazy feeling.
But you must love it. That's why you keep doing it.
Oh yeah, I love it. But it is so funny when people, now I'm just so used to it. So I just laugh. But at first I was like, whoa, it's like people know you better than you know yourself. Like super fans on me will be like, remember 3 summers ago when you dropped your phone in this lake and then you went out for ice cream here? And I'm like, whoa, like I forgot that. But they like know everything.
Wow. I can't imagine. For me, yeah, I saw the video you made about this school. Like, and I'm like, yeah. But it's just like, but I think I've been trying to transition because the first video that I feel like actually started to gain traction was my acceptance video. And that's when I started to see people that were more college aged and high school age on my channel. And I've kind of tailored my content since then. So I was thinking for my last year, which is next year, of kind of now showcasing how much I've changed within the 4 years since I've kind of been off camera, since millions of people have seen me cry during my acceptance video. And then now it's like, okay, let's see like what this acceptance video has brought. So I'm thinking about vlogging.
You need to, I'm watching all of them.
But I definitely, series and shows are so, so much easier and more. Just I think in the future, I actually want to make like TV shows. So it's, wow. It's, yeah, the path of what I think I'd want to do at the end of the day. So we'll see. I don't know. But I did switch my concentration to film and media management. So now I've been able to take a lot of classes that have kind of like exposed me to filmmaking and to TV.
Awesome. Because yeah. You started off in business, right?
I'm still in the business school, but all Wharton students major in economics. But then you have a concentration in finance and accounting and whatnot. So I was able to build one because we don't have any media stuff at my school. So I built my concentration in film and media. So now I get
that's to do so this. Nice. I always say my one regret looking back at BU is I wish I would have done more stuff like that, stuff with cameras, stuff with like behind the scenes editing, whatever it would be, like photography, because I've never taken anything photography, film and media, like anything like that. And I'm like, Gretchen, like, what were you doing? Like that would have actually helped you with like your job right now.
Like from your content, there's no way we wouldn't know. I would think you've taken a ton of classes in it. Like,
that's so sweet.
Yes. Yes. You are inspirational, girl. You are. You.
I just like taught myself over the years about everything. I like Google, like, how do I do this on Final Cut? Or how, like, what camera do I get for this? Or, you know, like what mic do I get for my podcast?
That too, it's like taking a class versus self-teaching is like, to me, being self-taught sometimes you can produce such better quality stuff than being taught it. Maybe you can do it faster by getting taught, but I think what you've done is just as good, if not exceeds people that got it done professionally. So
okay, that makes me feel better that I never took like photography classes.
Necessary. I think literally for me, I realized I could do it and I wasn't interested in like finance or anything. So I was like, you know what? Why not? So by literally
so cool.
To do, make like, hopefully over time, like create a network to where I can literally just do show pitches, receive show pitches and then produce shows and direct them. And
oh my God, I can't wait for like that chapter in your life, because I feel like you have such an eye for what others will find entertaining. Obviously with your YouTube videos, like for everyone listening, if you've definitely seen the viral like 73 questions like college series on YouTube, like this is Dom right here.
Literally, yeah. I think it was crazy too with quarantine, because obviously I couldn't film people anymore, and everyone would tell me, you know, you should just do it on Zoom, but I use the 73 questions as a tour, so not being able to see campus was a huge hit. So that's when the kickbacks kind of started up, which is another series that I do. And that's the first time I dabbled in like trying to create an actual show with like an intro and with like a theme song and with just having credits, like that type of stuff is what where I started realizing, you know, like this is something that YouTubers can do, is make their channels more of like little like Netflix shows instead of just vlogging. And that's what I found more comfortable doing. The creation of that is I basically, every part was done by a member of my family or like a friend. So my brother creates music. So I would meet with him and be like, yo, like his name's Kingsley, we would call him King. I was like, King, I need a cool song, like for the theme song. And he was like, okay. And he just starts making beats. And then I'm like, no, not that one. And then he's like, you want more happy or more like sad? I'm like, so we just create whole theme songs. And then my dad sings, so he'll sing over like theme songs.
Oh my gosh.
Right? So it's like this whole in-house type creation where they're literally the reason why I am who I am is all because my family. Like the credits that I put on the end of my videos is just all my family.
I love that you guys are so close and your channel is like literally a family production.
100%. 100%. Every piece of the family somehow has their hands on something. My mom started making me TikToks for a while. And then she was like, you know what, Dom, if you want, you could give me like your Instagram, like login, and I'll like help like with responding to people or with posting. I was like, okay, mom, now we're doing too much.
But, they are so sweet. Like my mom doesn't even know what TikTok is.
Good, but like sometimes I'm like, okay, you guys need to like know your age. So, like you're a little bit older than but other than that, yeah, they're just every part of the way, they just have helped me immensely. So all the credit, and everyone saw them in the acceptance video and probably wonder like who they are, like what they're doing now. But like little do you guys know, their like hands are in every single video. Before I post, I send it to my parents and they watch it all. They tell me what to check. And then they're like, yep, go ahead and post. Like, they're
part of your biggest supporters. I love that so much.
You know, literally, every step. And my sister, a lot, she helps me with all, like, the actual, she loves, like, media and like, digital stuff. So she helps with graphic design sometimes. She, like, makes my banners and helps with, like, all emails and stuff.
This is so impressive. Okay, now I want my family to be, like, my little team.
And it's like, you not be mean to them, but it's not scary to say like, I don't like this, you know. It's
just your family. It's so you're so comfortable with each other.
But with the kickbacks and making that series, I feel like from then I've been able to transition into making the new Shoot Your Shot series, which I mentioned to you, which I'm excited to tell you all about. Is basically I was listening to a podcast and it was the How I Built This podcast. I was listening to the creation of Bumble and Tinder. And I was just like, wow, like this is amazing. This lady created such an important app. And listening to her speak, she said that she first was working, I think, on an app for restaurants. And then she switched over to Tinder and like more Bumble dating. And what she said, which stuck with me, was like, wow, I can make something that's gonna help my peers. And I was like, huh, like, my peers are all like, you know, 21 to 24. And most of my content is helping more like 14 to 18 year olds. And I was like, what could I do to help my age group? And then it hit me. I was like, matchmaking. So that's kind of like how it stemmed, was a mixture of probably hearing like Tinder, some thinking dating already. And I was like, at Penn, I don't know if it's the same at BU, but a lot of kids don't want to use Tinder because if they're seen on Tinder, they're kind of embarrassed by looking like that at their peers. So I was like, okay. And then like Bachelorette and other dating shows are usually 20 and up, while college is 18 to like 23. And I would say we're some of the most lonely people, but we can't apply to certain shows because we're not of age. So I was like, what if it's like a matchmaking show for college age students and just finally be able to help my peers? And then also with having a show series like that, you watch it, right? And you see, let's say you watch The Bachelorette and you see people on there, you think they're so amazing, you'd want to be their friend and you'd want to date them. You go to check out their social media and they're huge. Like there's so many people following them. There's no way you could ever get in contact. So I was like, with this series, you could watch somebody. It could be just a normal person that's not even on social media, has just a normal life, what happens to be on the show. So now the people watching, let's say I watch and I'm really into John, I can go and DM him after and he might even respond because we're all just college students. Mm-hmm. So it's formulated over quarantine. And now that's the biggest, I spent all day just thinking of what can I put on the show? How can I make the show better?
That's so nice. You're kind of like spotlighting people, you know, like bringing people on the show, being like, if anyone likes them, you can, DMs are open.
Exactly. But then on the show they can meet somebody as well, so it's like a mixture of like nobody really goes home empty-handed because you're put on a platform where somebody that thinks they do match you could find you, but then you're also like playing a fun game at the same time. And then I get to just fulfill my dream of like hosting but also producing, so like it's just a win-win all around.
And so they can find this on your YouTube channel. These are just like YouTube channel videos.
Yeah. So the, with the series, I haven't posted it yet because I was hoping it's a lot of work because I want it to be set up like an actual show. So because of that, I've been trying to make around 5 episodes before I air any. And so when I'm filming the 4th tomorrow, actually, and then this summer, I'm hoping to start dropping them. And if you want to sign up, it's also in my Instagram bio. So you can definitely sign up. And there's a shootyourshot.tv Instagram page where we've just been promoting it. So either or. And then hopefully when it goes live, we're going to just see a ton of little couples forming.
Oh my God, you're becoming a matchmaker. I was literally going to say, if you didn't say, I'm like, guys, you can apply. It's in her Instagram bio, like link. I saw it's like application. I'm like, if I was single, I would be like on here.
So fun. Because literally how it works is whoever wants to fills out that form. And it's a pretty hefty form. I can't lie. But it's because I want all the information about you. So it literally goes from what you like and who you are to the location you'd want the person to be in. Like, are they extroverted? Would you want a gym freak? Like, so many questions. Mm-hmm. And then I had a friend of mine code like the whole spreadsheet. So where if you clicked Gretchen, it would tell you from how many people signed up, who matches closest to your interests. Whoa. So then it's amazing. It's so cool. So with the algorithm, it's like, wow, like now you have people that 4 people that literally could be your perfect match. And then when you come onto the show, let's say you're the main person, Gretchen. So you have 4 people tied to you or matched to you. And then you ask questions. Like it could be, how often do you guys work out? Often do you go to church? And like they give you answers. Everything's blind though. So it's no looks. It's only personality. And then eliminate the males throughout elimination rounds until there's one person left, and then he asks questions back to you, and if he's feeling you, you'll shoot your shot and he can accept it, but if he's not feeling you, then he can reject it. So then that's literally how the episode would go, and then every person is tangible, and obviously all ads are in the description box and whatnot. But that's
so cool. Okay, I can't wait to see.
Yeah, I'm so excited to release it. It's been a lot of work for like 5 months.
Yeah. So it's like your baby right now.
Literally my baby. And it's like so different than if I was vlogging. I feel like if I finished something, I would just want to put it up immediately to stay current with the time of like what's going on. As vlog, obviously I'm going to post it around Christmas. But with this, it's been insane to be working on something for so long and not getting to show people. So it's like, ready, and I just want to show. I just want to like let you guys see it.
I can't wait to watch. Interrupting super quick to tell you guys about my mattress that I'm so obsessed with. I'm sure most of you probably already know since I talk about it so much. And to put it into perspective, I have to quite literally peel myself out of bed in the morning. It is that comfortable. I'm not even kidding. It's the Helix Midnight Luxe. That's the specific model. And you may have seen when I posted about it recently on my Instagram, YouTube, podcast in the past. I actually get DMs from you guys quite frequently asking about which mattress is it again that you have that you love. Like, I remember you talking about it. So this is it. This is the mattress. You guys also may remember we got it when we moved to Pennsylvania in September, and for the past 9 months that I've had it, let me tell you, it really is the best. And especially, I'm sure some of you are sleeping on some old, uncomfy mattresses at night. I was too before Helix, and for you specifically, maybe it's time to consider an upgrade. And if you're already in the market for a new mattress anyway, if you didn't know already, Helix Sleep has a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete, and it matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. Helix knows that every body is unique, and they have several different mattress models to choose from. So they have soft, medium, and firm mattresses, and also mattresses great for cooling you down if you get hot when you sleep. When I took the Helix quiz, I was matched with a midnight mattress just because I wanted something that had a medium feel, and Max and I are actually both side sleepers. It was so fast and easy to unpack and set up once it got here. So if you're looking for a new mattress, you take the quiz, you order the mattress that you're matched to, and the mattress comes right to your door, shipped for free. You don't ever have to go to a mattress store, literally ever again. And I know Helix actually offers exclusive discounts for teachers, students, and first responders, which is amazing. Helix is so awesome. Obviously, guys already know I'm their number one fan, but you actually don't need to take my word for it. If you remember, Helix was actually awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2020 by GQ and Wired magazine. So that's pretty cool. And you guys can go to helixsleep.com/Gretchen, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. I know they have a 10-year warranty, and you actually get to try it out for 120 3 nights risk-free. They will even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you're gonna. Trust me here. And Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for you guys at helixsleep.com/Gretchen. That's helixsleep.com/Gretchen. And now let's get back into the episode. Okay, so now let's tell them. You guys know in each of my episodes, I always say something I'm happy about this week or like a happy quote or idea. So I'm going to let Dawn take it away this week. Tell us something. I mean, it sounds like you're happy about your show that you're producing, but yeah, tell us something you're happy about this week.
Happy about that is such a good question. I think it's so important to always think about and reflect on what made you happy. Man, I'm usually just a really happy person. So a lot of things make me happy, but I actually had the opportunity. I take this entertainment class at school and we had the CEO of Netflix come and speak to our class on his
Zoom. Are you kidding? That is so cool.
Insane. I was so lit. So I was terrified. And how the class works is I was like scared to be in his presence. And it was so cool to see him like cough and like see him sneeze. And I'm like, you make where like somebody should be like talking for you. Like, human. So that was amazing to begin with. His name's Ted Sarandos. And so how it works is we have different presenters come and speak to us. And the professor obviously doesn't want us like using the chat and just like annoying the person, trying to get his email, like that type of stuff. So we have to message our professor questions we have. And then if he likes the question, he'll call on you to speak. And so I messaged the professor. I absolutely love the show Money Heist. So I wanted to ask like how Ted Sarandos like chose that show, how they went about knowing how a show is going to be successful, like that type of question. So I messaged the professor and he goes, Dominique like has a really good question, Ted. Like, Dominique, do you want to speak? And I was passed out because I was so nervous to like speak to him. And so I was with my boyfriend and his friend. And I told them before who I was talking to, and they told me I need to speak. And I told them I can't unless I'm chosen. So when they heard me start speaking, I was like, thank you, Ted, for being here with us today. They started freaking out because they're so excited and proud of me that his friends sprinted past me, like on Zoom and started like going like cheering in front of me. And so he sprints past me and Ted, like, here's my question. And cuts me off and goes, you just got photobombed in front of everybody. And I was so embarrassed. He died laughing. I was like, oh my God, because every other person that felt so professional was like, thank you so much for being here, Ted. Like, I'm such a fan. And then me, as soon as I start speaking, you see this kid sprint past me to where it was just the best like memory of like, I'm the CEO of Netflix laugh. That was my happy thing. And just, I guess my quote would just be, never be afraid to just shoot your shot, to like ask a question. Even if the person seems so much higher, they're still human at the end of the day. So that's my thing for the week.
I love that. I know it's like, you're so afraid, like they seem so important. And then you're like, wait, they're just human. And they can like laugh at something funny that happens. I'm so happy that happened. Cause everyone else is like sitting there, like all professional, and you're just, and that probably made everyone feel so at ease, you know?
Yes. Just to like breathe and be like, wow, like he is funny. He likes photobombs too. He like is not perfect either. So it was just like, oh my gosh, like I'm okay. And it was crazy too, because I felt so comfortable after that. I like asked him a follow-up question, which I don't know if anybody else like felt like they were brave enough or felt like they could. I felt like, okay, like it's a little bit more calm now.
Like, we're friends now.
We're friends, Ted. I'm gonna hit you with follow-up. And it was so cool too. One of his things that I took away from the conversation was his job, how he described it. He said, the best storytellers in the world pitch me their best stories all day. Like, to me, that's the coolest job of life.
Whoa. I never thought of it like that, but that's awesome.
And he was saying too, like, remember when Netflix started as a DVD, like through the mail?
Yes.
That one. But you know what Netflix means? Like, stands for?
Tell us.
That was so cute. Like, Internetflix. Like internet shows. So even when they were DVDs, they knew that it was going to go online.
Wow. Wait, my mind is blown. Did any of you listen? I wish you guys could talk back to us. I feel like no one knows that. Internet Flix. Wow.
like, how did you, like, transition from DVDs to, like, online streaming? And he was like, oh, we knew from when we named it. I was like, whoa.
Wow. Maybe just, like, all online seems like too much of a jump from, like, Blockbuster. So they were, like, an in-between. I remember that so well. My mom and her friends had their, like, Netflix DVDs that they would, like, pick out each month that would, like, come in the mail. Like, what in the hell? But how funny.
Crazy. So he was just dropping all these crazy facts throughout the call. And I was just like, oh my God, like you're who I want to be when I get older. And then just got photobombed.
Like your boyfriend and friend are like celebrating that you get to talk. And you're like, no way, I'm like on the mic, everyone. I'm like,
shit. Yeah, that was my, wait, can I reverse the question? What was your happening?
That's a good question. Well, this may sound like so dumb, but honestly, what I think of, so last night, like one of my like close friends here, neighbor, we were watching, her husband plays on Max's hockey team. And so they had an away hockey game. So we were watching together. And then she actually just had a baby. And so she is like learning how to wear like normal clothes again. Like she's like, I forget what it's like to like put on jeans or like, you know, she's like, I don't even feel like myself and my body anymore. So we were like, it just felt like I was a little kid at a sleepover again. Like we were trying on so many clothes together and she was like playing dress up and it was so fun. So yeah, that made me so happy.
I didn't even think of the fact that your body completely shifts like after you have, wow, because it's like a gradual 9 months of getting bigger and then nothing.
I know. And then now all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, dude, I keep forgetting that you don't have a belly. Like it's so weird to me that you just, your stomach is like back to normal. Like I never knew her not pregnant. So now I'm just like, whoa, like I always forget that you don't have a huge belly.
I love that. I have like the biggest baby fever and I'm like only 21. It's like, slow down.
But yeah, I guess that's what I'm happy about. I also just feel like as you grow up, not to make you sad because post-grad is like maybe the saddest thing ever, but I feel like post-grad makes you appreciate like girlfriends so much more because when you're in college, it's like, well, I mean, now with COVID and stuff, it's like, you're not seeing friends normally like you normally would. But I just feel like from college to after college, it's so sad not being around friends all the time, like living with friends. So I feel like I just appreciate my girlfriend relationships like so much more than in college. Cause you take it for granted, you know, like when I'm living with my 8 roommate friends or whatever, and then it's like all of a sudden we're all spread out across the country and I'm like, okay, this is so sad.
I heard from so many people post-grad is, it's not what you think it's gonna be. Like everybody in school is like, I can't wait to graduate, and then you graduate and you're like, I went to college.
Yeah,
so trying, COVID really did rob it, so it feels kind of like I've kind of already graduated in a sense. Yeah,
I'm sure.
It's like making sure to not take for granted this last year because I'm almost gone. And I've been like contemplating if I want to study abroad or not because I'm supposed to be studying abroad right now. I had COVID, obviously. So I'm like, I think I want to stay and just like make sure I take advantage of my last year and just try to really have the most fun and take college to like its fullest potential. And
yeah, okay, those were literally 2 questions I was gonna ask you because one of your Instagram captions or stories, and you were like studying abroad in New York City, like haha. So you like, you're not having a semester in New York, you just are obviously like mostly online probably, so that's why you can be in New York.
Exactly, yeah. So fully I was still a Penn student. I still had at UPenn, but yeah, like I've actually really enjoyed the Zoom University setup because you could do a class anywhere. Like one time I signed into class, I was at the airport about to like head to Miami, like just literally can do whatever, obviously with being cautious and still wearing your mask. Just to me, I was able to just spend the majority of my semester in New York and get to learn the city and classes, like hop on the subway, which is something I always wanted to do, but I didn't know if I wanted to actually go to school in New York. So it was, it was to do kind of both with having the Zoom.
It's like a silver lining that you can be doing your Zoom school from New York if you want to. Do you want to live in New York once you graduate?
Yeah, that's the hope is hopefully in Brooklyn. I'm absolutely obsessed with like Brooklyn and New York just from being here this semester. I knew it was wonderful. Everybody talks about how great it is, but now I fully understand. Like, I'm from upstate, we're both from upstate. So actually being in the city, I was like, oh my God, like we've been really missing out on some amazing like stuff. Every stop, a new like atmosphere and a whole new life, and there's so much to see. So
it's hopefully so fun.
Did you ever move to New York?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I always thought, like, from being from upstate, and like I feel like we would go to New York City all the time because like the train ride wasn't that bad. It was like 2 hours or whatever. And I always like pictured a moment in my life being a young adult, like living in New York City. So I would never say never, because I feel like I could end up living there at some point.
Well, and I think for me too, I grew up 5 hours from the city. So it was not something we could go do.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like fake upstate. You're like legitimately Canada.
Canada. It is so, we have more cows than people. It is very small town.
Wait, what's your town?
Carthage, New York. It's okay. Like about 30 minutes from Watertown, New York. We don't know either. I am a dual Canadian citizen, so most of my family's in Canada. So that's why I live so close to the border.
It's okay.
But now I love the city because I was in the country for so long that it's like New York I have to do. It has to be some big city.
I feel like New York is like Philly to New York is also a good transition, because Philly always reminds me of like a mini New York. Like Philly is definitely a lot more like manageable, but it reminds me a lot more of New York than Boston whenever I go, because Boston's more like spread out and like low key, but Philly's more like built up like New York, I feel like.
I totally agree. But I think the cool thing about Boston was just that the average age is so young, like 24, yeah, right?
It's such a college city.
Oh, amazing. Because most, like if you leave campus in Philly, everybody's kind of like working class, like older. Mm-hmm. Whenever I go to Boston, I'm like, oh my goodness, like I can make a friend every block.
Yeah. Oh, I love Boston. Boston just feels like home to me. Like I feel like that's where I'll actually end up, like somewhere, maybe not right in Boston, like outside Boston, so I can have a yard for my dog or something like that.
These kids in Boston area, you feel like?
Yeah, I feel like I so want to be definitely in Mass to like have a family and like children. That's so funny to think about. But also because my boyfriend's from Cape Cod, so like being near where he's from and like, oh my God, he would like live there, I feel like, for the rest of his life in a heartbeat. Like he loves it there since he's from there. So.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So, okay, I wanted to ask you, your last Instagram post, you said, and it was so interesting because you said those pictures were from the beginning of quarantine, like a year ago. And you said in the past year, you learned a lot and changed a lot and like grown. Like what, how do you feel like you've changed in the past year?
Oh, wow. Great question, Gretchen. How have I changed? I think I've learned so much about myself because we all were like we weren't alone if we were home, but you spent a lot of time probably just like thinking and in your room, like we couldn't leave. So I feel like I've gotten so much more in touch with myself and kind of know more of what I want in life. I figured out like my career, like goals, like that's something that I did not have planned. I came into Penn as a sustainability like major. So now I've completely changed, and my interest for film like started with the kickbacks, which was because of quarantine. Yeah. So I think that way I've changed my aspirations. I think also I've learned the power of a small circle and of just making sure that you have a very small, tight support system. And so with being in quarantine, I actually had so much fun because I have so much fun with my family that I, for the whole summer, I'm going to stay home. Like I'm okay to like be with them because we have so much fun. So I think we've gotten
that realm. And then with having your small COVID bubbles, you could only hang out with X amount of people. So I've just been able to get so close with specific like members of my friend groups that now I know like I'm good. Like if people like being on social media, like people are mean. People mm-hmm. say some mean things, people bully you. And now I'm like, can brush it off my shoulder so much better because I know I have people that love me, which I feel like before, of course I knew, but now it feels like a whole new degree of like, you know, I'm good. You can say whatever you want, but I know like that I have my people. So yeah. I think knowing myself, just getting my support system and just figuring out my aspirations were all ways that I've grown tremendously. And just now I think I'm just so much more at peace. I just like always am having fun. Like my whole goal each day is how can I maximize the amount of fun I have? And of course, be productive. Like having fun, being productive, you never know when it could be your day to go. So I don't think I'm necessarily scared of leaving, of like death, not necessarily saying that came now, but because now each day I try to have so much fun. If it is my time to go, then at least I know I maximized it.
Yeah, live your best life. What a great way to look at every day. This is like inspiring to me. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna wake up every morning and be like, how can I have the best day and have so much fun?
It sounds like so obviously, but at the same time I don't think about it that way.
Yeah, people are just stuck in like their routine and every day and they're like, yeah,
how can I make my routine more fun? Maybe like today, instead of just waking up and brushing your teeth, waking up, turning on your favorite song so you can like have the best time.
So it's like you're like a bundle of sunshine. I'm so happy that you're on this episode. You're so dang positive.
Thank you. That means so much. I think that's literally all I try to do. And I feel it from you too. You just radiate. I don't think I've ever seen you sad.
I know. I feel like we both were so similar in that way. Like obviously we have like sad moments and down, but I just feel like we both are very like glass half full, like look at like the positives of every day. And like you said, I feel like so many people can relate to the past year. I feel like it's just recognizing, okay, this is like what actually matters and what's actually important to you. And like, you were already so close with your family always, but you're like, wait, now I'm at peace that like, even though I can only hang out with them, they're my favorite people anyway, that like matter to me anyway. And now I've like learned what I want to do with my career. Like, cause you had that time to be so honest with yourself and get to know like your interests and what's important to you even more. I feel like so many people can relate to that in the past year. Like, I feel like I've grown in similar ways too. And I feel like I really realized like, oh my gosh, family and friends and people in your personal life is just like number one, you know, like without them.
And I don't think there's no harm in trying to expand your friendships and meet new people and stuff. So I'm not saying that, but just with, like you said, just knowing that you have your people and that they're the priority over everything. Mm-hmm. On top of what you're saying too about people finding their passions and stuff, is one thing I realized was looking at my school, let's say, and looking at a Friday night, how everybody goes out and parties, right? And you look around at a party and like half the people are having fun. There's some people against the wall, just kind of like look like they're not having the best time, right? And so I think realizing too that you don't have to do what's the social norm to fit in. If you would prefer to go sing on a Friday night, I prefer to go paint, like you should really take a second and think, what do I like to do? Because I don't know if a lot of people actually know what they genuinely like to do, and make sure that you prioritize that over just fitting in. Do not go to a party and XYZ just because that's what your friends are doing. Do what's going to make you the happiest. Mm-hmm. And I think I learned, which helps to make each day maximizing that happiness that I'm trying to achieve.
Okay, so we need to talk all about UPenn, because I know everyone listening probably has a million questions. Like, I want to hear about, I know your video that is like so viral and has like millions of views when you're doing your college acceptance with your family and the whole thing. So I'm sure some people have seen that, but like, talk about, I guess, like applying to schools. Like, was UPenn your dream school? Everything like that.
Yeah. Oh my God. What a journey that you see it all in that video. That was the worst/best day of my life.
I saw it so long ago. I can't even remember, but it was like emotional. Like everyone's obviously so like excited.
Yeah. So basically I applied to 5 Ivies, got rejected from 4, but how I organized them was in order from the least to the most important, and Penn was last. So I opened one.
Okay, I remember that.
Yeah. it kind of hurt. And then it just started getting repeatedly like punching me, just knocking the tears.
So you probably didn't even want to like open the last one. You're probably like, can't do it. My soul can't take this.
Yes. It was just like a slow open until I was like, just like opening them so quick. It just wasn't, oh my God. And I had like a FaceTime like wall of all my family members were watching, and then my family was with me. So it was like embarrassing. It was hard work. And I think the worst part for me is when you get rejected, it's not like they send you a letter telling you what you did wrong. So it's just like, I don't
There's no feedback. It's just no.
It's just no, exactly. So it was a crazy process of applying. My sister actually went to Penn. So from the beginning, I wanted to go. So after moving, it was crazy. She's 4 years older. So when we moved her in, and from that day, I started my countdown. It was like 3 years and 365 days until I got, I had like every single day, I was like 3 years,
40 days. My God. Crossing off the days, counting them down.
So I knew Penn was where I wanted to go 4 years before. And I knew I wanted to do business. And so when I was applying, it was crazy because my town was just very small, like I mentioned, where most kids want to do farming. I was next to a military base, so wanted to go to the military, or wanted to stay local and do community colleges or just SUNY, like New York schools. So I was one of like the only few people in my year, like applying to other schools. And I always felt uncomfortable to talk about it because people would be like, oh, like I applied to like Geneseo today. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, this like Yale, like this Yale essay is killing me.
They're like, can't relate.
Exactly. And I didn't mean it in a bad way, but they would be like, Yale, like, who do you think you are? So it was always uncomfortable to talk about it. And even like my guidance counselor thought UPenn was Penn State. So I didn't really have that much guidance.
No one was doing what you were doing. I so relate to that being in New York, like right off the bat. I feel like at just a public high school, like 50% of the graduating class is going to go to community colleges nearby or like SUNY schools, because that's just like, you know, more affordable and what you do.
That's what they're used to. It's just how for generations, just what the students did. So it was already a little bit new, and like I felt like I couldn't speak to most of my peers about it. But my family, again, like that's who I could confide in and talk about it with. So with applying, as you guys saw, I only got into Penn, which I'm actually insanely indecisive. Like even when I go to like restaurants, I only look at one side of the menu. So stress myself out. So getting the one made it easy. I was like, yes, like I'm done. I don't have to decide. So getting in was crazy. So I was beyond happy, beyond satisfied. So now actually choosing it and going to school, I would say I've had the best experience. My freshman year was the most ideal college experience for me. I actually like bawled my eyes out the last day of freshman year because I didn't want to leave. I was so sad. I made so many friends, just so many memories. And then I went abroad my freshman summer to the Rotterdam's Netherlands and research how climate change affects industry. Very interesting topic. So I learned a lot about grapes for a summer. It was amazing. I absolutely loved the Netherlands. That's my favorite.
That's so like, cool.
Very cool experience. If anyone's listening, you should check out the Netherlands because it's amazing.
Yeah, go.
100%. So I was there for 3 months. So I learned a lot. And if you need any recs, I got you. So then I came back, and that's when I started making YouTube videos. So I actually started to leave my campus every single weekend unless I had an exam. So I would stay and study. So I would say at most schools, you learn the most about your school on the weekends or make the most friends because that's when you're going out and exploring the city. I was gone. So my social life at school was pretty much like one person. So I would leave to go to other campuses and just meet so many amazing people, go film their social events, film their parties, go to their football games. And it just became, like, I feel like I'm a part of so many different college communities because I completely like left Penn to go film other places. Nothing against Penn. I think it's the best Ivy. I love the school, but I did end up leaving just to pursue my passions. But nonetheless, Penn, I recommend it to anyone. I think it is the mixture of having the most fun out of all the schools. We are the number one party Ivy.
Okay, I was going to ask. I was going to say, is it like how you thought it was going to be? Was it like so like party school, or was it way more like serious like academics?
that it's the best of both worlds. The, our phrase is work hard, play hard. And I think it 100% stays true. You have students who will work insanely hard until around maybe 7 or 8 and then free games, straight to parties. You can definitely find a party at least, I would say, 6 times a week throughout the
no
week.
Way.
You definitely have. I was always having fun freshman year. So you can find your party scene if you just want to do academics. That's 100% there too. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, I don't know, it was the perfect fit for me because I'm all about both. You need balance, you need to have fun, but you need to kill school. And exactly the type of students here. So it was an amazing choice. And I'm so thankful.
I feel like I relate to that too with being at BU. I feel like there were times where I'm sure you felt the same way where I was like, wow, I have FOMO. Like all my friends are together every weekend, whatever. And I felt like I was always visiting friends at other schools or going on trips with brands for YouTube or like traveling. And so I would have FOMO, but then I would be like, at the same time, I've had like the coolest experiences in such a short amount of time. And like, what other time in my life am I going to have so little responsibility that I can like book a trip to Miami or, you know, wherever it's going to be. So like, although I had FOMO, I still feel so grateful that I had that. And cause I didn't go abroad. And now, and especially with quarantine, I'm like, I don't even feel like cause I have traveled so much before all of this. Like I feel okay to like be stuck at home, you know?
I was just like, I've been to so many different states to film, and being in the Netherlands, I went to like 6 different countries while I was there that I'm like, okay, Dom, like we can relax.
We were both like, this is good to like slow down for a sec.
For a second, actually breathe, for sure. But I think too, like what you were saying and kind of what I was mentioning of, I think more students need to take advantage of social media, that you can meet anyone at any school and create a friend, but then going to different campuses. So many people live right next to each other, but don't check other campuses. And after a while, of course, every school becomes repetitive. Every social event kind of becomes repetitive. You've seen the same people. If you go hit another school, you're networking, you're meeting new kids, and you're having a great new refreshing time. It's like new student orientation all over again. If you're listening and you're a college student, like when COVID ends, I would definitely, even like for your spring fling, try to hit like 6 different like spring festivals and just have maximize your happiness.
Especially like you have no excuses if you're in a city like Boston or like Philly and there's like a million colleges around. Like you can meet so many different people.
100%. And things like Zipcar, like you could rent a car and drive down to University of Miami and then go over to other schools. Like if you have...
This is making me miss being like so social. I guess when everyone listening, when you're all vaxxed up and it's safe, of course. I saw you just got vaccinated. Me too.
I got my first shot. I'm so excited.
Do you know which one it was?
Yeah, I got the Pfizer one at CVS. It was so nice. And I'm like a chicken. So I was like, is it gonna hurt?
I know, I didn't look. I looked away.
It was so scary. And then my arm was a little sore. It was yours? Like after?
Me too. It felt like my whole arm was like a stiff, like bruise. It hurt so bad.
I felt like I'd lifted like 300 pounds just on my left arm the day before.
So weird. But then my friend told me, she was like, okay, literally it sounds so weird, but like do an arm workout, like move around. It'll feel so much better. And the next day it was like back to normal. I think because I like, stretched it out, used it a little bit.
Opposite, it hurt, so I did not move a muscle. I was like stiff all day, and then the next day I was like, oh my god, it's worse.
Yeah, so if anyone's getting their vaccine and your arm's stiff, it sounds weird, but actually move it around because it helped so much. So
don't do what I did, because
I know I was like, okay, obviously I can't move it, I have to like ice it and like keep it still. And my friend was like, no, literally move it around.
Now I know for the second dose.
Yeah, now you know for your second shot. So what advice would you have? So say like I'm listening to this right now and I want to go to UPenn. Like what advice do you have for someone that's looking at UPenn? Or maybe like, do you have advice for like setting yourself apart on your application if you felt like there was something that like made you pop out of the page?
Yeah. Oh my God. So good question. I think for me, I look at every year that the admissions officers craft a class as they don't want the same students. So they're not going to want a ton of just valedictorians. They're not going to want a ton of baseball players. They want to form a community
So you want to make sure to stay true to yourself, I think is very important. One thing that my mom taught me when applying actually to Columbia, they asked you how many books you read that year. And I'm not a reader. I audiobook, but I don't really read. I watch movies. But so I asked her, I was like, should I lie? Like, should I use books that I used the year before? Like, I don't know what to do. And she was like, you know, tell the truth because they are trying to craft the class. So if you lie and you pretend to be someone you're not, you're going to be put in a community that might not be the best for you and you probably won't have the most fun. So telling
that's
the truth.
Such good advice.
Yeah. Making sure you're being truthful to yourself. If you didn't get in, it's probably because you would not fit in that community. That's how I look at it. So I
not meant to be.
Not meant to be. Everything happens for a reason. 100%. So making sure to stay true to yourself. On top of that, if you're older, you can still do this, but definitely if you're younger, like more sophomore, freshman year, is find what you're passionate about and try to become a pointy student instead of a rounded student. And what I mean by that is if you're a rounded student, let's say you are in a cooking club, a reading club, you play a sport, you also like love to travel and you talk about all these different things on your application. It's like, okay, she's well-rounded, he's well-rounded, but like what could he bring to the campus? What makes him unique? But if you try to be a pointy student, and let's say you love cooking, you started a club where you cook brownies for your like school every Friday and bring them brownies. Then you also love like cooking master classes, and you make a YouTube channel about cooking, and your Instagram account's all about cooking, and you just have all these things that evolve around cooking, and you teach kids how to cook on the weekends, and so many things that the school sees you, and they're like, oh, she could bring in this element of this passion. Like she does a lot of this. She's a pointy student in this realm that I think that's what sets you apart. And for instance, mine was helping people. Like I loved like mentorship, but also like helping communities that were underrepresented. So I just did a ton of work within the realm of helping people. And I think that's what made me unique. When applying. And as I mentioned before, I didn't get into four Ivy, so I don't have the recipe for success, but I do know that I started this mission trip and I am originally from Jamaica. So I would go down to Jamaica once a year and help build houses for the poor. And I'd actually bring my friends and my like vice principal and my favorite teachers and we'd all fundraise throughout the year. And then we would go down and build houses. And I was so passionate about it, so excited to write about it because I thought it would help me get in. And I wrote about that for all of my college essays except Penn. That was
no
the only
way
talk about it. I had it on my resume so they could read it. But all the other schools, that was my focal essay. And I didn't get into the other ones, but I got into Penn. So I don't know if that's the recipe, like I was saying.
What did you talk about for Penn?
Yeah, great question. they asked me why Penn and how I would succeed. And I more talked about the fact that of my interest of helping people, so still hitting my passion. And at Penn, if you have a passion project or anything like that, you can ask for money and funding. So I talked about the fact that I know that if I wanted to pursue helping people like in the West Philly area, that I could be supported by Penn. And also I talked about students, my sister, for instance, started a club and received so much funding, so much help, so much connections to companies to be able to bring her platform to like the next level. So I mentioned other students that have had similar experiences of having an idea and being supported by the school. So more I went the approach of like how I can use what I love to expand and help your community at Penn if you admit me. While the other schools, I was like, I did this. I'm amazing. Blah,
that's
blah,
so good.
So I think going more that approach could work, but again, the exact recipe, but yeah, it was weird. I was like the one school I didn't like make the focal about my, yeah. And then it worked.
That's such good advice. Cause I feel like that was so the advice when I was in high school, it was like, you need to be the president of every club. You need to do all the things, get involved in everything. But I think less people spend time on focusing on the one thing that they're actually interested in and passionate about. And it's like exactly what you said. If you take like your one thing that you're most passionate about and devote all your energy and time to that and show this college, like not only do you love cooking, but you have like your business for it now and you teach kids cooking on the weekends, like you said, and have a YouTube channel on Instagram and you like show that's like the type of person you are. Cause you're right. They want to like diversify the incoming class, not just have the entire class be the president of the chess club and they swim and they play soccer and they have good grades, you know?
And I think that showcases too, when they do so many things, it's like what you said, that their teachers probably told them to apply to all these and to become a part of every club. While when a kid is in cooking and they do all these things, it's probably comes across as so much more genuine to the admissions officers. This kid actually means business. This kid actually wants to pursue this.
So interesting to your essay. That makes me think how everyone should be applying to a college and writing their essay as if when they're there, like how, what they're going to bring to the table, like what they're going to bring to the school, but also how the school can help them pursue like what they're interested in. Like that seems like why it worked so well for you, because you're like, not only do I have X, Y, and Z that I've done that I can bring to Penn, but also like, this is what I'm going to do when I get there. And this is how you can help me, you know?
Because I think too, the reason why schools want to admit you is because if you're going to be successful in the future, the school wants to stamp that you were their student on you.
So true. Okay. When you have your Netflix series, they're going to be like, Dom went here, Dom went to UPenn, don't forget.
Exactly. So you want to sell yourself to them that I can kill it in your institution. You want me to go to your school because I'm going to be successful in this realm. So I think looking at it that way of just like, how can I help the school and show to them that what my passion, I mean business, then you could be golden, in my opinion. I know everybody has different.
Yeah, listen up, everyone, if you're applying. This is such good advice.
Oh, thank you. I've just dissected my process so much from getting declined from before, and just trying to figure out what I did differently for my Penn essay. And that's the main.
And it seems like we were saying, everything happens for a reason. And that was so meant to be for you, because like you said, if you have trouble making a decision, it's like the world just made the decision for you by admitting you to the one that you actually wanted to go to. And that's so good that it worked out that was your number one and the one that you opened last. And of course, like that's the one you get into.
That it was like, so many people probably think it was like planned, but when I tell you, that was like God.
It was so well. It literally was. And imagine if you had gotten into like Yale and UPenn, then you'd be like, oh gosh, like which one do I pick? Like maybe I need to go here, you know?
Exactly. And I think too, even in the realm of YouTube, with like that literally opening up the idea of film for my future career, if the video, even in the video, if I had gotten into Yale, it probably wouldn't have been the video it is today. And I have not even discovered my interest for film. So it's so many, like, it's like the butterfly effect. So, it's all worked out for a reason. And that's why I think too, when people are applying, one of my biggest regrets was just stressing too much. If you try your best, like just go with it. Know that you got it. If it doesn't work out how you thought, it was probably for a reason.
To the point of you were saying, like, if you lie on your application or like showcase that you're a person that you're not, odds are you won't fit in, and you'll get there and you'll be like, huh, I don't like it here. Like, I wonder why.
Exactly. If you decide to be someone you're not, like you'll be with a ton of kids who love to read. And I would have been like, no guys, let's watch a movie. And they're like, book club. I would have like not fit in.
So true. And I have friends too. I don't know if you know people like this, where they didn't get in like for going in like freshman fall, but then obviously you can like go get your grades up at another school, transfer in later, or you could have, what's that one? Some schools do like a deferred, like they're like, okay, you have guaranteed admission for like the spring semester or sophomore year thing. So there's always things like that.
Exactly. So I guess my mindset is just in that moment, it might seem so dark and sad, but there's always a chance that you could still get it. You could get your master's there. You could do so many things to still achieve that dream.
So tell me about, you also have in your Instagram bio, you have so many things for like links for things. So the Pay It Forward scholarship, I know it has to do with your dad.
That's an awesome opportunity. It's actually coming up in 6 days. So the 30th is the last day. So if you want to apply, this is out by then. But yeah, so going through high school, my parents started a scholarship, and throughout all the school year, we would fundraise. We'd like throw dances and have people like pay to like go to the dance. That would be like scholarship funding, like just all these different, we did show fun. It's called Northern New York Talent Show. So it probably reached down to Albany, to be honest, but we just had all
people apply to like a talent show, and it was like American Idol basically, where you got to like have a judge table, which were my parents, and I like was younger, but I would like stay behind the judge table, and people would come in and like sing or do comedy, and we just throw this whole talent show, and all again, all the funding was for the scholarship. So after I graduated and my younger brother, my parents were like, oh my gosh, like we do a scholarship each year, but now like nobody's really tied to the school anymore. Like, what should we do? And because my platform is basically mostly high school students, they were like, what if we just tie it to Dom and start doing through her, still giving away money for school. So yeah, so this was the first year we've ever done it. My mom took that on, as like I told you, I have all my family helped me in different ways. So my mom was on scholarship duty and made the website and everything. So yeah, it's just for any student around the world that's going to a four-year college in the US can apply. There's four winners, each get $1,000. And the application process is very short. It's just like a couple writing essays. And there is some requirements of like having, I think it's a 3.3 GPA, but yeah, it's just a chance to just give back. I think is all I've tried to do with my channel is how can I help students who might've not had as much support or as much knowledge as their peers get into their dream school and support them even financially now.
Oh, that's so awesome. I feel like that reminds me when you're in high school and applying to colleges, I feel like everyone says, look around, there's so many scholarship opportunities, and there is so many, like if you really try, there's so many, even like little ones that can obviously help so much. That is so awesome. You guys do that.
Thank you. It's like so exciting to me. Let's say for instance, I did this giveaway. It's like an iPhone giveaway for just helping students school year. And to me, I was looking at, of course, an idea, big deal. But for the student that received it, the amount of like gratitude, like she was so thankful and how talked about how much that made her day, that I was like, okay, now I just want to like give away everything. I want to help in every way I can. So just from my parents' perspective of giving some type of scholarship to kids that have worked hard and just need the financials, that's another criteria, is they have to be need-based students. So just the feeling of knowing that you're helping somebody and just their thank yous and their smiles, and we'll like award them on Zoom so I get to see their reactions. Aww. And it's the best feeling. Like there's nothing totally else comparable.
That makes so much sense to me when you talk about how you have like a passion for helping others. I can so see you like getting that from your family. Obviously your family is so similar in that way too.
Yes, 100%. And that's the name behind Pay It Forward. It's just if you're helped, you need to make sure to pay it forward to somebody else. Like always try to help those to come. And that's just how I was raised. So like you said, it's just ingrained in my blood from my parents.
This has been so good. Do you have anything you want to leave us with? Like future plans? What's next? I don't know. Anything else?
I first want to say this was so fun. Like I wish we could talk like this every week. I totally forgot that we were even recording. This is just amazing.
I know. I always say I like selfishly love getting guests on here that I just want to like chit chat with and like talk to. So this has been that completely.
Just future plans is just focusing on the Shoot Your Shot for now, on that show series. Just trying to make sure I can make that as crystal clear, as in sync as I have the plan in my head. And then just finishing this year strong. Like I have finals next week, so making sure I'm not too distracted by my series that I need to study, which I'll probably study after this. But yeah, just continuing to explore my interest in film. And
then you're going to be a senior Dom. Can you even imagine?
I'm just like, how did I go from this little girl crying in front of all these people to now about to be an adult? Like, wow.
You're the same age as my cousin that I'm really close with, who goes to University of South Carolina. And she's like, oh, we don't say the S word, the senior word. She's like, we don't say that word.
That's how I feel. Like my mom keeps saying, you're almost a senior. And I'm like, no, like I'm still like a freshman. Like leave me alone. Like,
I know it goes by so quick, but it seems like you have taken like so many opportunities from college and taken advantage. Like you're not going to have any regrets of wishing you like did more, you know, like you're so involved and you've been so like social, obviously with your 73 questions, like going to other college campuses. I'm sure so many people look back at their college life and like wish they were more involved like you are.
Hey, And I guess that's actually a great way for me to say my last final words is actually a quote. I'm going to just kind of sum it up. It's from Steve Harvey, actually. And he said that his biggest regret in life is not taking advantage of his 20s more. That if he had taken advantage of it more, he'd be so much further ahead now than where he is. So I think to anyone listening, if you're 20, younger, if you're 30, just really take advantage of the age that you're in now before it's too late to catapult your career from now. So that in the future, I guess it's just all about delayed gratification. Work now hard so that in the future you can live your best life, no stress, and just maximize your happiness.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Dawn. This was so good. I knew it was going to be like a little bit of everything, like what you're up to, you pen, the whole thing.
I'm so glad. This was so fun. Like a great moment in my day to just be able to have this happy, just I love your atmosphere. You just radiate happiness and it makes it easy for me to just
it's a really happy show. So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. Again, you know where to find Dom on our Instagram, YouTube, everything like that. It's just Dominique Cynthia, and I'll catch you in my next episode. Bye.
Look around, you can find cars like these on Auto Trader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.